The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are in mourning this morning.
We really are. I was
very
shocked.
Sad when Peggy, when Peggy read this yesterday, she was very shocked. One of our favorite writers is retiring after 10 years and more than 1,000 columns. David Widener, who covered now,
yes,
Wall Street for Market Watch, and is based in San Francisco, is retiring. We're going to find out here in just a minute. He's given up his dream job. I know that. He wrote an article called "The Last Writing on the Wall." So we immediately wanted to get him on because we like him so much. So we've got him today. Good morning, sir.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you?
Fine, thank
you. Good morning, Peggy.
Good morning. Thanks so much for coming on such short notice.
So are you going to go write a book now? Because you've written really great articles over the years.
And talk to everybody.
You could take them all together like George Will. You know, George Will's books are just a bunch of his articles. A bunch of these guys do this. What are you going to do now?
Well, I first of all, I figured I better get out before they raise rates. You know, that's...
Yeah, because that's going to really bring
coming.
The world... Yeah. Yeah. Coming eventually.
No, you know, there's some great opportunities out here, and when I'm ready to talk about what I'm doing, and when they let me talk about what I'm going to be doing, I can mention it. But I had a wonderful time covering Wall Street. I was in New York for 16 years, and started out as a reporter covering mergers and acquisitions, and talking to corporate finance people and CEOs, and they gave me that column. It was a wonderful, wonderful ride. I learned so much. I learned so much and met some, you know, fascinating people, interviewed fascinating people, even Donald Trump. I figured now that we got 2.3% growth, I was only looking for 2.2%. So
were pleased.
Yeah, we're yeah.
Because no one else, apparently you're the only one. So,
it's been a great ride, and it's just I think everybody needs to challenge themselves and move on, take on new challenges every once in a while.
Well, can we talk a little? Well, did you have a question?
Well, I was just going to ask because, David, through the years, I mean, you have such a way of writing so tongue-in-cheek and making it so darn entertaining. But you've really talked to some remarkable people at some interesting times that they were going through, you know, real newsmakers and everything. Is there something that really stands out, someone that really stands out that really shed some light on, maybe the situation and how they got there?
You know, there's a lot. But I think one person that really comes to mind was Elizabeth Warren, who was this Harvard professor, was doing deep research into bankruptcy and how that affects people, and how banking really tilted the playing field against people who are struggling, and how she rose to prominence to become eventually a U.S. senator who was being talked about for president, really on one issue, financial services. And how financial services affect the people in this country, to me, says a lot about the last decade of banking, brokerages, and how finance really is such an important part of people's lives. And I think that her rise, I had a very in-depth video interview with her. I think it was about the time that she was still the inspector general for TARP, which was the bank bailout program. And, of course, she created, pushed through in the administration, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and which is an organization which is Wall Street still fighting very hard, and it's always dicey every year when funding the Bureau comes up in Congress. Still a very controversial agency. But she really really pushed that through. And I interviewed her, and you know what's so funny? I think she was a very good politician then. She told me right when we got off camera, I said, and I wish we had caught this, but we didn't. But I said, Elizabeth, you know, you've gone from Harvard, now you have this role in Washington. Do you want to stay in Washington and be a politician? And she said, I would rather jab needles in my eyes than stay in Washington. And look what she's done. She's now, a couple years later, she was speaking before the Democratic convention, national convention, and got a rousing ovation from the delegates there. And she's a major national political figure, you know, and the draft Warren movement is very big. And I think should Hillary Clinton win, she'll have a very prominent role in the administration. And I think she's somebody to watch down the road. So to watch her rise, for her to be concerned about the issues that I was, I don't agree with her on everything, but I think it's very telling about how the financial crisis, the mortgage crisis, really impacted people's lives for her to have that kind of political support.
Interesting, and also in your final article, you talk about financial technology and the impact that's having on the banks and brokerage firm. Is that helping the consumer, or is it just giving them more power on Wall Street?
You know, it is, I think, the most critical issue facing Wall Street right now, because a lot of these fintech firms are undercutting the existing business, and I'm sure you guys have seen there's a lot of new products out there where basically you just have a broker that is an algorithm, looks at your portfolio and it takes the human element out. And as we all know, the machines are not perfect. And we've had flash crashes in the market. We've had all kinds of things. And they don't do the hand holding. They don't do the critical sort of human. They don't provide that critical human element to investors that human brokers do. And so there's pluses and minuses to all of these things coming out. And I'll give you another example. You know, we hear a lot about these peer-to-peer lenders like LendingClub, which are fantastic. I mean, they provide loans to people who may not fit a traditional bank loan, but they provide great opportunities for investors who want to make a little more return on their money. But, you know, there's hazards, too. These loans aren't FDIC insured. And we haven't gone through a downturn to see how these loans are going to perform when the economy is not doing so well and people are losing jobs. So there's a lot of great ideas coming out of Silicon Valley, and there's a lot of great products. And I think that eventually technology does get it right. You know, we had to go through one dot-com boom. But now some of those ideas are being perfected. But I think that is the single biggest thing that is going to shake up Wall Street. Either Wall Street's going to adopt, or they're going to have, as Jamie Dimon said, they're going to have their lunch eaten.
Should we start a crowdfunding site for you, David?
No, I'm fine. I'm fine. You know, as I mentioned in my column, I did learn a little bit about investing. I'm not rich by any means, but you know what? I'll take a crowdfunding. I'll take some crowdfunding. You know,
we'll start that anyway. Peggy, go ahead and take us out.
Yeah, we're going to take a break right here. On the other side, we're going to finish up with David Widener, the man behind Writing on the Wall and some just great articles. We'll be right back on Straight Talk Money.
The following is a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.
We are honored today on his last day of work for MarketWatch to have MarketWatch columnist David Widener with us today. He has been writing for over 10 years and has written over 1,000 columns. In fact, you can go online, you can read a bunch of them. He's got some great ones out there. One he wrote in June that I particularly like, the two events that will dictate direction of the markets. We've already gone through one, which is the earnings season. But the one you want to start out with, I think, is the last one, called The Writing on the Wall. And then after that, I want you to read the one that says, why are government heads getting a raise of 567%? Because that one really got my blood boiling. But right now, David, we've got a little bit less than 10 minutes, so I want to ask you a couple of things. You got to meet Donald Trump. Surprisingly enough, Donald Trump seems to be leading everybody right now in running for president. He's pretty brash. He's certainly treating the press differently, and they're having a hard time because he doesn't care what they say about him. The press seems to be having a hard time with him. What do you think of Mr. Trump?
Well, first of all, I think on a political level, people are just so hungry for candidates who just sound different.
Right.
I think that you know, they're so tired of the big money that's behind them, and they have to be so careful and so politically correct, and they can't step out of the box. So that box that they're in is getting smaller and smaller. Everybody has to be so careful. So there's something refreshing about somebody coming in and saying offensive things. I really feel on that level, that's what's attractive about him. I think, you know, and I think that's why the media actually likes him so much. He's just a wonderful guy to cover. There's a big difference between being a wonderful guy to cover and being a wonderful guy. I want to make that clear. The thing I think about Donald Trump is that when you look at the average American who doesn't follow maybe Wall Street or the markets very closely, I think if you said, well, who are the big players on Wall Street, I think a very high percentage of them would say Donald Trump. And because he is so visible, he's so good at promoting himself and his TV shows and all that. And I think that's part of the problem here. And so, he was tinkering with running back in 2012, and I went back and just looked at, you know, his Wall Street career, which is not terribly good. I asked many people who had dealt with Trump, would they lend him money? Do they think he's and he has a terrible reputation on Wall Street. He is not somebody who is seen more as a poser than a player. And So I did actually speak to Mr. Trump. I said, hey, this is what people are saying about you. And he acknowledged it. He said, I do a poor job selling my accomplishments. And he said, I'm not a salesman, which I, you know, you can take that for what it is. But he said, people just can't believe my accomplishments. They're so amazing. You know, which is classic Donald. But I think that once again, people get lost in the noise and the messaging, and they don't look underneath. And that's why I've really enjoyed being a journalist, is that we get the time and the resources to go in and look underneath and see what the real truth is. And I feel like I was able to do that with Donald back then. But unfortunately, when you have this very noisy media of TV and social media, it's much harder to find the stuff that goes really in deep and actually finds the truth. And I think that's the problem. That's why we're seeing Donald Trump leading in the polls right now, because he's not really the guy he says he is when it comes to his business accomplishments. I'm not going to say the guy hasn't been successful, but let's put it politely, he exaggerates. The truth is a little bit something different.
So he's not worth $10 billion?
Well, I think the most recent close examination put that under $3 billion.
That's
is licensing his name. He's not really the developer that he suggests.
Right. Yeah, well, he certainly got enough money, though. Harry, the guy I want to ask you about is Harry Markopoulos, who, frankly, I've never heard of
before. Harry Markopoulos.
Yeah, and he tried to expose Bernie Madoff for years but failed. Who was he?
Oh, well, he was, you know, it's funny. Harry was at the time, and this must have been, I guess at the turn of the millennium, around 2000, he was a fund manager who was who was investing in the same things that Bernie's funds were, and he had the same strategy, and his boss was saying, how come we can't beat Bernie? And so he was, he was curious. He's like, I'm getting rolled here, and Bernie Madoff is making money in down markets, and how is he doing this? And so he looked closely at the guys, at all the information he could dig up on the guy, and he said, this is just not real. And he went to the SEC multiple times saying, this guy is not, cannot be producing these returns. You have to look into this. And the SEC famously just, they would, take his complaint, send it to somebody, it would never be followed up, nobody. And of course we all know what happened. Mr. Madoff was running, the biggest Ponzi scheme in the history of Wall Street. And Mr. Markopoulos, for his trouble, went off to do his own thing, and nobody, it was ignored until Bernie blew up, and he was called before Congress. And I thought Mr. Markopoulos was really a very thoughtful guy. He's not the most polished person, but I argued that he should have a role in the SEC. If you're doing a better job than the SEC on your own, I figured he deserved a role in it. And I thought his problem is that he doesn't come off as a polished guy who is, he comes off as a geek. I'll just be honest. It's my last day at work. I'm going to say it. So he came off as a geek. But, sometimes the most polished people don't listen to them because of the way they present themselves.
And they may not always be telling the truth. Okay, we've only got a couple of minutes to go. And so on your last day at work, you've given advice to us so many times over 10 years. Can you render your last bit of advice to our listeners and to the investing public out there?
I would say to the majority of you out there, investors, most investors are long-term investors. And I think most financial media treats investors as if they're day traders. I think that's the most significant problem. So when you see headlines coming across, when you're watching CNBC, when you're trying to make sense of the market, you get caught up in a very short-term presentation of information for people who are making trades, in seconds rather than for the long haul. Most of us are saving for retirement. We're saving for college education. We're trying to put away a nest egg. And I think that the financial media is geared towards something else. And I think that's always important to keep it in mind. So always remember your time horizon. Just remember that, you've got, look at the big picture stuff. Look at the interest rates. Look at growth. Today's a great day to look at the media, see what's happening with the economy. And if you're investing in individual companies, of course, pay close attention to those. But remember your time horizon and put that in the context of the media you're seeing.
Well, David, on behalf of all the listeners and the folks that you've helped over the years, thank you so much for what you've done. A job well done, and we're going to miss you. And thank you for being on with us today.
You have been listening to a rebroadcast of Straight Talk About Money. The market data in this rebroadcast is not current and should not be used for any financial decisions.